Bahamas Reef Environment Educational Foundation's Our Blue Bahamas podcast here on Guardian Radio, where we talk about promoting the conservation of the Bahamian marine environment that sustains our way of life. Today we have in the studio with us the Executive Director of the Bahamas Reef Environment Educational Foundation, Katharina McKinney-Lambert. We have Heather, who is our outreach officer, and we have our special guest, Allison Longley, who's a paddy dive instructor and water safety instructor. Good morning, everybody.
Good morning, Crystal and Brief team.
Good morning.
Okay. So today we're going to be talking about safe waters, mastering essential water skills. So we'll be focusing on swim safety, discussing the importance of swimming as a life skill, overcoming fears, and how the Bahamas benefits from water safety. So starting right out, I want to speak to Allison. Give us a little bit of your background and how you really got into this.
Yeah, sure. First, I just want to start out by saying thank you for having me on this podcast. I appreciate you valuing my opinion on water safety and swimming lessons. Swimming is my passion. The ocean is my passion. From a very young age, I learned how to swim when I was 2 years old. Because I'm one of those cases where my mom doesn't know how to swim, so she made sure all four of her children knew how to swim at a very young age. So I participated in swim team. I was a lifeguard all throughout high school and college. I've been teaching scuba diving since I was 18 years old. I've traveled the world doing so as well, so it's really just been not only a passion of mine, but my career.
Okay, awesome. So why is swimming considered such an essential life skill, particularly here in the Bahamas, Allison?
Yeah, so before I talk about that, I just want to talk a little bit more about swimming in itself. Obviously, it is my passion. I love to swim. It's a fun activity. There's so many health benefits to it. It's a low impact exercise, burn a lot of calories. For me, anything outdoors is where I want to be. I don't want to be stuck on a treadmill in a gym, paying a membership and all of that. Water is accessible to everyone in the Bahamas. Yeah.
There's a consensus around this table of that. We're outdoorsy people.
Exactly. So going back, particularly into the Bahamas, going back to, water everywhere, right? We are an ocean nation, coastal nation, so we have access to that water. So, you're going to find yourself in and around a body of water, whether it be a blue hole or a lake or the ocean. So knowing life-saving skills, water safety skills, and how to swim is going to prevent potential accidents that can happen in and around water. We also know the effects of major storms, especially when it comes to storm surges. I had a friend, a roommate in Key West. Part of her hurricane preparedness was to, don her life jacket. She didn't know how to swim. If you're going to find yourself in waist deep water or higher, those are the types of things that you might want to be thinking about, because it can be life saving. Mm-hmm. So that's just the point, right? People who learn how to swim and learn water safety skills, those actions are responsible. It's a life skill. It's a birthright in my mind. So it's really important in the Bahamas, again being a coastal nation, that everybody has access to learn how to swim and knowledge about water safety.
Awesome. Now, Katharina, I know that you have a lot of experience with swimming as well. What is your take on this? Why is swimming considered such an important part of life, and an essential life skill here in the Bahamas?
I guess I would throw myself into that category of people who are just passionate about the water and love to swim. It really is fun. It's just something that I find incredibly relaxing. It's a way to enjoy the outdoors, a way to enjoy nature, and something that people travel all over the world to come to the Bahamas to enjoy what we have right here. And knowing how to swim really is, as Allison said, a life-saving skill. We have heard stories from Hurricane Dorian, from various hurricanes where there's large storm surges, where people had to swim to safety. And it's absolutely essential that everybody in the Bahamas has the opportunity to learn how to swim and to protect their lives. And there are also incredible opportunities in the blue economy when it comes to thinking about jobs related to the ocean that surrounds the islands of our archipelago. And there are a lot of jobs that do require being able to swim, whether that's in tourism, fishing. So many opportunities are out there for people who have this important skill set.
Mm-hmm. And on that note, I know we have our Grand Bahamian in here with us too, Heather. Heather, talk to us about the way you feel about being able to swim and the importance of being able to swim in the Bahamas.
Yeah, so our entire conversation thus far has reminded me of an incident I experienced at a local beach in Freeport. I was just there with my family for a regular Sunday beach day, and a kid starts screaming, and it's not even far from the shore. He's screaming, and my mother had to go and save him, but she doesn't even know how to swim. And so you have people risking their lives for people who have risked their lives who don't know how to swim. And it's just that innate ability in your body telling you to save someone, even if you're risking your life. So just having that certification, that skill in place would make you more confident to say, help those around you, even on the beach. Because that was scary for me as a young kid. I imagined if that had been me, if I'd walked one step off the drop-off and I didn't notice, and that could have been me. And it would have been harder saving me because I'm not as small of a child, but... Mm-hmm. You know, thinking about these instances where it might be harder to save a person and you might not be familiar. And in your heart, you really want to save them, but you just don't have that skill.
For sure.
And that's where it breaks down, like Allison said, life-saving skills. Mm-hmm. And it's really important to think about because it does not take very long for someone to even realize that they cannot swim on the beach. Mm-hmm. Sometimes our shorelines are about 5 feet of water that you can stand in, and then you don't realize that there's a drop off, and then all of a sudden it's life or death. And so really having these skills in place, even just beachgoers, somebody mm-hmm. could be a passerby and save your life, as opposed to a beach where 70% of the people, you know, don't know how to really help you in that situation.
Very true. And that's a great segue into our second question, Allison. What advice would you have for individuals, especially children like the one in Heather's story, who may have a fear of water or swimming?
Yeah, so we come across this a lot, you know, when dealing with people that want to learn how to swim, in particular adults that don't know how to swim as of yet. But what I will say is fear is a learned behavior. We're born without fear. So, you know, when you're a child and you're fearful of the water, whether it be the pool or the ocean or any body of water, it's a learned behavior. So either you were told not to do something because it's dangerous, or you saw a fearful event, which is unfortunate, right? So you've had a bad experience. Mm-hmm. So the only way of overcoming that is to face that fear. So, you know, seeking out professional swim instructors, water safety instructors that can help you do so in a controlled environment and practicing, because that's the only way. And it's situational, so, you know, those types of questions are going to be asked, you know, to children, to adults, you know, what made you have a fear of the water? Maybe they have an answer, maybe they don't, but mm-hmm. it definitely can be overcome.
Okay. And can you tell us about some of the dangers that people, because we know that there are, that sometimes there's an irrational fear of the ocean, right? Where you have people who are just like, oh, you know, I don't go in the water, I don't go to the beach, or I don't swim in pools, you know? And so you have a lot of people now, there's this culture of, I'm going to go and get a swimsuit, I'm gonna go on a boat, or I'm going to go on the beach and just lay on the sand, and I'm not gonna touch the water, I'm not gonna go into the water. So there are a lot of people who feel that way because they are, they have a, reservations about getting into the water, getting their feet wet. But to some extent, there is it is warranted, right? So there's a reason for people to be cautious. So what are some things that people should be aware of when swimming in the ocean? Take precautions.
Yeah, so, I mean, there are so many things to be aware of when enjoying a day at the beach. You know, we all want to enjoy our sun, sand, and sea responsibly, of course. I can touch on a few of them. Maybe obvious, maybe not. So the first thing is temperature of the day. You know, really hot, sunny days. Making sure that you are protecting yourself against the sun. Wearing reef-safe sunscreen, rash guards, hats, making sure that you're bringing adequate enough water to the beach, right? So dehydration is a big factor. You could become dehydrated very quickly, being in the sun and salt water, and that can lead to more serious illnesses, right? Like heat exhaustion or even heat stroke in the more serious, related illnesses. So, you know, I'm going to say that one, definitely. Another one directly related to the ocean in itself is currents and riptides. You know, if you're swimming in the ocean and you're just cruising along and you think you're the best swimmer in the world, right? You're having a great time. You're probably going with the current. So when you look back, now everybody seems very small on the beach, right? Turning around and getting back to where you started is going to be 10 times harder. And Mother Nature's always going to win.
So what should people do?
Yeah, I mean, you know, this is situational awareness, right? Mm-hmm. Be aware of where you are in the water. Don't have your blinders on. Don't have tunnel vision when you're swimming around. You know, be looking around, seeing where you are in the water. If you're not familiar with currents and what that feels like, you could be the best swimmer in the world, but, you know, you can get a cramp or you can pull something, and now you need rescue aid. You know, that's not a great situation
so is there a way where people can be able to see the currents or tell, you know?
Not necessarily not necessarily with currents. Now you know, there's riptides as well. There's not a lot of lifeguards on the beach posting up flags about these types of environments, you know. So if you haven't swim in that area, maybe take a local orientation, right, from somebody that goes to that beach often, or, you know, riptides, let me go back to that one. There's not a lot of them in Nassau, but there are a few. So knowing where those are, if you did get caught in a riptide, knowing what to do is essential. So swimming parallel to the shore, you'll eventually get out of that riptide. Those are all a part of water safety. Okay. So if you were taught water safety and you know, hold those skills, you would know, you know, those simple things. But even that, it's risky business. You know, you don't want to find yourself in a strong current or in a riptide or anything like that, so better not to enter in the water. And you know, knowing those things
beforehand. And for you mentioned something earlier. You said, and Katherina, feel free to chime in on this as well, you mentioned reef safe sunscreen, which I think is kind of, you know, something that people don't really notice or may not be aware of. What is the importance of wearing reef-safe sunscreen when you go to the beach rather than regular sunscreen? Does it matter where you are, you know, in the water? Like if you're in shallow water, is okay to wear sunscreen that's not reef-safe?
So I would just start off by saying that, you know, we do live in a place where the sun is very powerful, and there are lots of efforts that you can take to reduce your risk of sunburns, serious sunburns. One of those is not being outside in the middle of the day. So between 11 and 2, limit your sun exposure, particularly in the summer, just by being in a shady place, and don't choose to go out in those times. But also wearing a physical barrier. The easiest way to protect yourself from the sun is by wearing a sun shirt, a rash guard, and a hat, and by that way reducing your sun exposure, recognizing that you do get reflection off the water that can burn you that way. And there are different types of sunscreen. The corals that make up our coral reefs are particularly sensitive to a number of different chemicals. And the sunscreens that we're recommending are ones that have zinc oxide and titanium dioxide as their active ingredient. Those are generally the reef-safe sunscreens.
Okay, awesome. And Alison, what role do lifeguards play? Because you spoke about lifeguards as well. And we know sometimes, well, a lot of times, often you don't see much lifeguards on the beach, if any, at all. What role do lifeguards play in ensuring safety at beaches and pools? And how can we better support their work or encourage more lifeguards?
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, lifeguards, they play a crucial role in, you know, ensuring the safety of the public and the well-being at beaches and at pools. You know, these are trained professionals that are there to activate, you know, life-saving measures. They're there to protect you. That's their only job. Myself being a lifeguard for many years, you know, I loved the job, right? Being outdoors, being active, staying fit, you know, all those things, you know, are characteristics of a lifeguard. You're in that, you know, authoritative role, right? So understanding that, you know, as a patron on the beach or at the pool is important. If a lifeguard blows a whistle or if they're trying to get your attention, don't take it with a grain of salt. Again, they're there to ensure your safety. So listening and being attentive to lifeguard. You know, at some beaches, they'll post billboards with water conditions, the temperature, the currents, and all of that, what to be aware of. They'll have flags on the beach, different colors. If you don't know what those different colors mean, go ask the lifeguard, right, what you need to be aware of. So yeah, I mean, they are, again, professionals that have dedicated their careers to taking life-saving measures to help keep patrons in the water. So, you know, just making sure that, you know, you give those lifeguards a break, having staffing capacity, I'd say, you know, to support them. It's hot, they're human, you know, they need a break too. So I'd say staffing capacity is one, making sure you give them the time off to make sure that they're staying fit. That they are renewing their CPR certifications and all of the other certifications that they hold to be able to perform a rescue. Technology too, making sure they have all the technology to coordinate a rescue if needed. Those are all things that we can do to help support lifeguards.
Yeah, and I think the other thing to remember is that although there are lifeguards on some beaches, a lot of beaches don't have lifeguards, and there's still measures that you can take by looking out for each other. Swim with a buddy, keep an eye on your friends in the water. It's helpful to have safety equipment, flotation devices, either safety rings or other things that float that can be used to help people in need.
For sure. So how can parents and schools encourage children to learn how to swim? We don't have much pools and schools, right? So here in the Bahamas, so there are a lot of children who don't know how to swim. There are a lot of kids who don't go to the beach. We don't just I want to say our generation, right? As we get older, as the generations as time progresses, right, we tend to see less people outside. We tend to see less people at the beach in the water. And so we could imagine that there wouldn't be much people who know how to swim. That could be a contributor. Now, in schools now, I heard they're starting to incorporate swimming, teaching children how to swim, swim programs to help children to develop their water confidence. So how can parents and schools support children in learning how to swim?
Yeah, absolutely. So, I mean, for me, myself, I've been, you know, dunking my children in the ocean and in the pool since they were 3 months. You know, it's recommended that children learn as early as 6 months to learn how to swim and about water safety. So, you know, early education equals early development of those skills. So the earlier the better, really. And schools that do have water safety programs, swimming lessons within their school program, they understand the importance of, you know, why our community as a whole needs to know how to swim and about water safety, right, to prevent accidents. And that might even be an incentive for some parents to send their child to that school. So it's definitely something that's a positive for that school in itself. You know, it might be the reason why that child goes to that school, you know, instead of that school, because that school has a swim program, which, you know.
So what would you suggest? And Catherine, you could chime in. Heather as well. If you have any ideas or suggestions, just, you know, at this round table, brainstorming, In which ways do you think that we can assist, or maybe something that Brief does, with encouraging more students to, with access? You know, a lot of students don't have access. A lot of them, their parents don't have the means to pay for expensive swim lessons or what have you. So what can we do in that way to support young people in learning how to swim?
Yeah, so one of Brief's activities that we host a lot are our community snorkels. And so those are opportunities for anybody from ages 8 and up to really get their toes wet, get that experience in the water, putting their face under the water, like actually putting their face in the water and really building that comfort level. You may not be able to afford swim training or water safety classes, but public free events like these with certified guides and a really controlled environment can really help you to really push past your level of comfort and really get you to the point where you're comfortable in the water, or you can say you're comfortable putting your face in the water or floating or whatever level that your goal is. We just like you to be able to, you know, have those basic skills that allow you to preserve your life just for a little bit longer if you see yourself in a life-threatening situation. So we do encourage people to come to Brief's public snorkel events. We always post on our social medias when we are hosting these events. So I would encourage anybody who's a bit iffy or not sure if they want to start learning how to really be comfortable in the water, I would encourage them to come out and really experience our public snorkels. We like to say that we don't take people past their comfort limit. So if you're not comfortable, we will not push you to go past any limits that you're not comfortable with. Mm-hmm. And that really breeds an environment where you feel comfortable with your snorkel guide, and it's less of a panic situation and more of a learning and growing.
Awesome. So, Katharina, I want you to kind of chime in and build on a little bit of what Heather said. Tell us more about Brief snorkeling and diving experiences and what skills they cover.
Yeah, so what we've found is that people will often put a mask and snorkel on for the first time, put their head underwater, see a fish, see a coral, and it completely distracts them from the fear that they may have had of the ocean. And to really see what the wonders are that are under the water, to be able to have a chance to see a fish, not just a fish on your plate that you're about to eat, but a fish swimming past you, is a really cool experience. Mm-hmm. So we love doing our public snorkel events. As Heather said, we also run field trips. We have run teacher training workshops for many, many years. Which is really an opportunity to introduce teachers to the environment. The teacher workshops start off on the first day with a snorkel experience, and most of the participants have never put their head underwater in the ocean before. Wow. So it's really an eye-opening experience. By the end, we have a hard time getting them out of the water because they're having so much fun and are learning so much, and are able to take these lessons back to their classroom to share with their students. So these are some of the programs that we run. It's worth pointing out that actually you float a lot easier in the ocean than you do in a pool because of the salt water. So it's a lot easier just to relax and be buoyant in the ocean and float. So these are a great way to introduce people of all ages to the water. Mm-hmm. I'd also like to shout out to a number of other organizations around the country that are also encouraging people to get in the water and learn how to swim. There have been a lot of programs going on from Let's Swim Bahamas, Swim for Ocean Survival. The One Eleuthera Foundation is doing a great job with swimming lessons on Eleuthera. And there's a growing awareness across the country that this is an essential skill for our island nation, and that there are great opportunities available now. The Sean Connery Foundation is supporting a lot of these initiatives, and now is the moment. If you've been on the fence but about learning how to swim or not, I really encourage you to take the plunge and reach out to one of the many organizations that will help you. Brief being one of them, but there are lots on your island, on wherever you are, and try it out.
So you heard it here, everyone. Take advantage of these opportunities. Now, Heather said something really interesting earlier. She said, you know, at Debrief Snorkels, they don't push, you don't push people beyond their limits. Is this, for Allison now, is this something that is important? And at what point do you start to push people? Because obviously you want the swimmer to advance, right? So at what point do you decide that, okay, now it's time to push, you know, to push them a little bit? How do you do that while still being safe?
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, you need to start slow in a controlled environment. And, you know, a lot of days our ocean is a control-like environment, right? It's a pool-like condition. Children, I will say, you know, they react to peer pressure in a good way, right? They see their friends swimming around, having fun. Children are much more physical, right? And so they want to do that. They want to do that thing, right? So they're more easy to persuade when you're talking about, you know, getting someone to go a little bit further than what they think they can actually accomplish. But again, that goes down. It comes down to the training and the qualifications of the instructor, right? The guide, knowing that person's limits, but also being able to push those boundaries. Just that person itself, you know, the swimmer, whether it be a child or an adult, just getting out of their head, because that's all it is. It's really just a mental block. So learning the techniques of how to swim. Right, or how to snorkel. Those are all things that can be taught. So, you know, it's just dealing with that person in the situation of why they're, you know, fearful or timid in going a little bit further, mm-hmm. you know. So.
And ultimately, you know, we'd like people's comfort zone to expand. You can think about your comfort zone as something that you're comfortable in right now. Mm-hmm. But ultimately, we would like people's comfort zone to be bigger than it is right now and to get to the point where we are all able to embrace all that the Bahamas has to offer. You can think about our country as being a small island nation where only about 5% of our country is dry land. 95% is underwater. And we would like to see all Bahamians be able to embrace the opportunities that all 100% of our country has to offer.
Awesome. And so for Castorina, while we're still here on you, how does swim safety tie into Brief efforts to protect marine ecosystems like Brief's coral reef sculpture garden that we know is underwater in waters off Clifton in New Providence?
What we found is that when people put a mask on and have a look underwater, they are blown away by what's there. They're seeing new species that they've never seen before, different species of coral and fish and algae and all sorts of cool things that live underwater. Mm-hmm. A turtle, a manatee, all sorts of animals that we have, and they want to learn more. And so once you've had your first taste of snorkeling, you know, wearing a snorkel vest out there at one of our public snorkels, mm-hmm. We often people ask us, well, what's the next step? You know, how can I do more of this? And we have taken thousands of people out to experience coral reefs for the first time out at our coral reef sculpture garden. And this is kind of our living underwater classroom, where people can learn about coral reefs, learn what they are, why they're so important for the Bahamas. The sculpture garden is made up of a number of statues that we put down in 2014. So 10 years ago, these concrete statues have now turned into living reefs. Mm-hmm. So they've become encrusted with sponges and corals and all sorts of things, and are really beautiful to see underwater. So this is a site where we take students to learn about water, to learn about water safety, and to learn about the importance of coral reefs. both the coral reefs that are there naturally, and also we have a coral nursery at the Sculpture Garden where we have been growing corals. Some of these corals we've been growing for 14 years, growing on these coral propagation units hanging in the water and then getting outplanted onto the reefs so that they can help restore the coral reefs there. Mm-hmm. So this is a really exciting underwater classroom space that we are thrilled to take people out to see.
And while we're talking about the Coral Reef Sculpture Garden, Heather, I know as outreach officer, you've also been a part of these snorkel trips at the Coral Reef Sculpture Garden. You've taken out the students. Just briefly tell us about, you know, some of the feedback that you've heard from students, visitors, tourists, anybody else who would have gone to that Sculpture Garden.
I think, like Kasserina said, they're almost always just amazed, and it's breathtaking when you go there because they tell you and we tell them that it is the largest underwater sculpture in the world, and until you really visualize that, it doesn't really conceptualize to you that it is like a massive sculpture under the water. And it's not just any sculpture, it's really representing that younger generation passing on the torch of conservation. And so we like to relay that to them so that they can envision themselves in her footsteps holding up the weight of the oceans, you know. And we also have a few informational boards out there, and so we give them the background on what biodiversity they can expect to see out there. We take them around to our coral trees. We point out the reef balls that we have out there that are home to a lot of the fish species that we see out there, and a lot of corals also start to encrust on those reef balls as well. So it's, like Kasserina said, an amazing underwater classroom, and it never fails to amaze you every time.
Okay, awesome. So we're almost out of time, so we'll just get closing. I have a question for everybody. What impact does a strong swimming culture have on a nation like the Bahamas, which is surrounded by water? We've touched on this throughout the show, but I just want to get your final closing words on this. We can start with Allison.
So obviously the more children in particular that we can get into the water and experience the water firsthand, right? This is all tying into knowing how to swim, being comfortable in the water. They can see the troubles that our coral reefs are facing. You know, the dire need to help our coral reefs. Creating environmental stewards, right? Them being inspired by the beautiful Bahamian waters and the coral reefs and the biodiversity that it has to offer. You know, we hope when they grow up, they take actions to protect it. If they don't experience that firsthand, and it's too foreign of an idea, then no action is taken. So the more people, the community at large, that we can get into the water to appreciate our coral reefs and the value of them really is going to just help the efforts of marine conservation as a whole.
Okay. Kasserina?
Absolutely. Creating the next and inspiring and supporting the next generation of marine environmental stewards is so important for the well-being of our country. And it's something that's fun. It's something that's exciting. It's something that opens so many career doors, career pathways that are connected to the ocean in one way or another. Mm-hmm. And it's also tied in with our national sport. So sailing is our national sport. And what we found is that a lot of young people who would like to learn how to sail and be connected with our heritage and our Olympic history and all of these things that have to do with our exciting new national sport need to learn to swim before they can get involved with it. So I hope that given that this, actually 2023 was the year that sailing became our national sport, we're the only country in the world that has sailing as our national sport. And I hope this is sort of an added incentive to encouraging more young people to take the plunge and learn how to swim.
Beautiful. Heather?
Yeah. And I think with our Bahamas being a sun, sand, and sea country, really being immersed in our waters is a part of our culture. Really being around our waters and not having that fear of drowning or any kind of harm related to entering the water. And so really taking off that element of fear. And I know, like Allison said, there are some instances where that might be harder, but really building a community that understands what's below the surface and what they can do to protect it.
Awesome. Thank you so much, everyone. Thank you for joining us today, our listening audience. And tune in once again, same place, same time next week for another episode of Our Blue Bahamas.